Okay, turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28. David is going to read Exodus 28, 15, 21, and 29 through 30. 15, 21, 29 through 30. So in other words, we're going to skip through. Okay, Devin is going to read then verse 21 and verse 29. That's the next. Brian, read Proverbs 4, 23 Antonio, read for me Ephesians 6, 14. Ephesians 6:14, and Delbert is going to read 1 Kings 22:34. Okay, we started a series. We're looking at Exodus 28 and 29. We're going to go right through those chapters, which are the preparation for the priesthood. And God gives lengthy instructions. Here are Aaron and his sons, who the God's purpose for them is to become priests. Exodus 28 and 29 are all the things that God wanted to happen to get them ready for their ministry. So the series, we're calling it Prepared for Ministry. And after we've looked at a couple of issues, today we're going to look, and God gives lengthy instructions concerning the breastplate or chest piece, as your translation may say, breastplate of decisions. And so we're going to talk about decision making in ministry. Exodus 28, verse 15, verse 21, and then verse 29 and 30.
You shall make the breastplate of judgment, artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen you shall make it. Verse 21, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. Verse 29, so Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually.
Okay, so this lesson is the breastplate of decisions. Let's begin. Let's talk about the need for decision. One of the great need of any form of leadership, whether this is being a husband and a father, all the way to being a pastor or a leader, any form of leadership involves decision making. Verse 15, I think his translation said the breastplate of judgment. Other translations say the breastplate of making decisions, or for making decisions. So, decision comes from the word decide, which means to choose between. And so almost all decisions in life involve options. It's rarely one choice only. You may have to choose all the way from what is literally right and wrong. But a lot of decisions in life are not right and wrong. They're simply good and best, short term and long term. There are always options. And so the key about making decisions is that in many decisions in life, you're not going to know which is right and wrong, which is better and best, which is short-term, long-term. You may not know. That may simply be because you don't have enough information. That may be because you have inexperience. That may be because you have conflicting information. This is one of the things I explain to pioneers when you go out. The reason why you're wise to keep in touch with your pastor is you're going to face an entire range of situations you've never faced before. And yet you have to choose. Is this person good for the church or bad for the church? Should I be doing this or not doing this? Life is filled with decisions. And so the point in ministry is, ministry, many of the decisions, they involve other people. You woke up this morning, I don't know if you woke up and what you had for breakfast before you came here. That's your choice. I don't know what kind of car you drive. That's your choice. Doesn't affect. Whatever car you drive, I don't care. Doesn't affect me. What you had, coffee or tea, doesn't affect me. Ministry, the whole point of ministry is you make choices that affect other people. That's very serious. You're talking about people's lives. That's what a priest is. This is Aaron and his sons. They were priests, which is someone who ministers for God on behalf of people. Priest in Latin is a bridge builder. You build a bridge between God and man. And so this is, when you are talking about people, decisions become so crucial because, remember what I said? Every decision involves options. So now when you talk about people, you are going to face a bewildering array of options. You will have different stories. They did this. No, I didn't. Wait, we're both Christians. You can't both be right. You will have competing agendas. I would love to believe that everybody in our church, the only reason why they do anything is all for Jesus. That's not true. They do it for pride. They do it for power. They do it for manipulation. They do it for revenge. There's a whole competing agendas. People say to you, as Proverbs tells us, the first response that people say is not the true response sometimes. And you have to be able to choose between, you'll have two people and they'll have radically different agendas. And then, of course, denials. That's always fun. Absolutely. No, I never did that. But we have photographs, videos. No, that's not me. Must have been faked. You got to deal with this. And that's part of ministry. So, major part of any leadership, again, even being a husband, being a father, leading a band or drama, being a manager on a job, being a business owner, and then, of course, in ministry all the way to pastoring, is you have to make decisions. Everybody makes decisions. You have to make right decisions. That's the key. You want to make sure what you choose is the right one. Is this going to help us or is this going to kill us all? You better choose right. And so this passage focused on what was called, in his translation, was the breastplate of judgment. Judgment is another word. It simply means to decide between. If you're judging something, is this good or bad? I'm judging that this is good. I'm judging. It's the same way as saying decision, which is why in other translations, it says the breastplate or the chest piece for making decisions. Remember, this is ministry. To be a priest, to help other people, you have to decide and make wise choices. You have to make choices that are best for the future. So you're not thinking just today. Down the road, how's this going to affect us? And you have to decide that. I've told the story before of the criminal in our area of Johannesburg, Eldorado Park, that he asked me to come to his house, and I went to his mansion, and he offered to pay for a building. We needed a building. I'm telling you, meeting in a tent full time, it gets really old. And this guy says, "I will pay for a bill. I'll pay for everything." And he had a dream that he was going to die unless he built a church. And so he wasn't wanting to leave his crime. He's going to pay for it. Is that an answer to prayer? But I had to look down the road. This would hurt the church very badly, because then everybody would say, gangster owns the potter's house. The pastor is corrupt. he's going to do what a criminal says. So I had to make a choice. That's long term. This is a bad decision. I don't want your money. And so that's one kind of decision. I have people look me in the eye with tears and everything. No, Pastor, I never did that. Nah, that's not true. I have to be able to decide the truth. Two people telling radically different stories. Which one is right? I have to choose, and I have to make the right choice. And so this becomes important. So the breastplate, its purpose was, this is how you ask God for direction. This is how you inquired of God. In it, here he had the Urim and the Thummim. Those words mean lights and perfections. They were stones. You read about this, breastplate to us sounds like a armor. It wasn't, it was thick folded cloth that made a bag, and inside were these stones. And so what they would do, the Urim and the Thummim, was a way that you could ask God and be able to get a clear answer. Most scholars, it's not clear how this worked. Most scholars believe that they would glow like a yes or no. Is this guy a fornicator? No, Pastor, let's put the God and dude, oh, the stones say something different. And that was kind of how it worked, and you could do that for anything. At one point, we read of David going into battle. Is it time? Should I fight now? It wasn't, yes, go. It was the stones. They glowed in some way, so it was providing direction. So this is crucial, very important lesson. Listen, you cannot lead effectively. In fact, you can't lead at all unless you can make good decisions. So this is foundational. God says, you want to lead, you want to help people, make good decisions, because that's the essence of leadership on any level. Okay, let's talk secondly about the foundation of compassion then. So how do you make sure that you're making right decisions? And so part of this, of course, learning to the voice of God. There is, as I tell pastors, if you will stay in touch with your pastor, he can guide you. You'll build up a file, because people are kind of the same all over the world. Different skin color, different accent, different language. They're the same. I've probably pastored you all over the world, honestly. And so that's a scary thought for some of you. But anyway, okay. So I want to say something to you. Making decisions is not data. It's not math. If that were the case, somebody would build an app for that. Right? He said, she said, let's consult the truth app. But there is no app for this. Okay. One of the things that when I was young and dumb, I was ambitious and I wanted positions. And then when I began, after humbling process, went down the road, I began to see that God was leading me toward leadership, and that frightened me, because I began to realize I make decisions that affect people's lives. Okay, when you see a conference here and they're going overseas, listen, I am altering their life in some ways. And I understand that. When I have to make a choice, you can't be in the church anymore. I get it. That affects their life. That affects their family. I do not take that lightly. This is it affects children. It affects ministry. It affects salvation. I have to make choices, and I have to make the right choices. So, God gives a key. Point one was, you have to make choices. You've got to make the right choices. So, how do you do this? Last week, we looked at stones that were set on the shoulder, 12 tribes, 6 names on one stone, etched in, engraved in some way, 6 on the other, and they put them on the shoulder, and we said the shoulder was a picture of responsibility. Now God shifts. There are other stones with names, but they're not on the shoulder. They're not responsibility here. God gives us one of the keys to making right decisions that affect other people, and that is compassion. Let's read verse 21 and 29.
There shall be 12 stones with their names according to the names of the sons of Israel. They shall be like signets, each engraved with its name for the 12 tribes. Verse 29. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment on his heart when he goes into the holy place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord.
Okay, so again, this was not metal. Most scholars say it was probably thick cloth. Maybe it was leather, but nonetheless, it was folded. There was to make a pocket. Inside was the two stones for making decisions. But on the outside, sewn or attached in some way to the cloth, were three rows of four, or however it went like that. But 12 tribes. Each stone, there was a certain kind. I'm not going to get into the colors and the stones and the symbolic meaning of those, but nonetheless, each stone had one tribe inscribed. Now I want you to notice, where did he wear this? The Bible said, over his heart. And it emphasizes this twice. When he went into the presence of God, where did he carry it? Over his heart. That's telling us compassion. Listen. If you want to make right decisions, you have to care. You have to care about me. This is not math. It's not just data. Enter in one person weighing 157 pounds, or you know, it's not. You got to care. This is very, very important. So, if you care about people, you will make wisdom in decisions a priority. You've heard me say probably 1,000 times. My number one prayer, I pray more than anything else in this world, I pray for wisdom. God, you have to help me. I have to choose. It is going to affect people's lives. It's going to affect their marriages. It's going to affect their children. It's going to affect the fellowship. This is like really serious. God, you, if you don't care, yeah, whatever, I don't know, do this, yeah, you're in, you're out. Yeah, go there, don't go there. It's a light issue. If you care, you really, really want to hear from God because you want what is best for the people. If you care, you're going to choose what's best for the people. Okay, compassion, caring is focused on other people. Ego, selfishness, is focused on you. If you're filled with pride, if you're selfish, what do you choose? What's best for you? What makes me look good? What makes me look bad? That's the basis of my decision. So God says, I don't want somebody choosing because of pride. I don't want a selfish man choosing. I want someone who cares. Because, therefore, they are thinking what is best for people. Thirdly, if you care, you're much more likely to hear from God. That's the point. This is making decisions. People who care about others, God is most likely to speak to them. I mean, this is common sense. Who do you think God is going to speak to more? A pride-filled, selfish pig? I mean, does that sound like God? You think God in heaven goes, that's my kind of guy? Or someone who has humility and cares, loves what God loves, which is people. I mean, is that common sense? Wouldn't it be, if you love people, wouldn't God be more likely to talk to you because your choices will likely be made in God's best interest. So, therefore, this is an absolute foundation of decision making. It's not just smarts. Leadership is not just smart. That's why you don't have to be the most intelligent. Right? We don't advertise in Mensa magazine. So you don't know what that is. That's for geniuses. I don't advertise for geniuses. For that. I don't troll NASA, put on NASA's job board. we need somebody for ministry. Because you don't have to be the smartest. I know really smart people, but they make really dumb decisions. Why? Because of pride, selfishness. But you're not going to make good decisions. First of all, this is foundational, unless you care. Second, or the last thought rather, is having a right heart. It's not an accident that the breastplate or chest piece, as your translation may say, it was worn over the heart. Compassion, of course, is what I said. But on the other hand, your heart is the absolute key to making all decisions. What your heart is like. Proverbs 4:23.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life.
Okay, another translation says, above all, most important, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is the crucial need. You have to keep your heart right. In life, in ministry, anything you do, you want to be a good dad, you want to be a good husband, keep your heart right. You want to be a good band leader, drama leader, keep your heart right. You want to be a good disciple, keep your heart right. You want to be a good pastor, you want to be a good leader, keep your heart right. This is absolutely foundational. Ephesians 6:14.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt up about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Okay, so now we move in the New Testament. Breastplate has a little different connotation. Of course, this is now military. It's the Roman soldier and whatever. But it's interesting, kind of the same word, kind of the same idea. Breastplate, here, what does it protect? Your heart. You might survive getting stabbed in the arm. You won't survive getting stabbed in the heart. So guard your heart. Guard this. Breastplate. But the breastplate in the Old Testament was make decisions. Make good decisions. Right decisions. Same idea. If you guard your heart, you're able to make right decisions. So, when we do right, when we are right, often making right decisions flows out of that. It's amazing when people, when their heart is not right, whether that's because of hidden sin or because they've let in bitterness, rebellion, whatever, people make amazingly bad decisions. Like sometimes I want to go like, you're kidding. How could you not say that? Because their heart wasn't right. It made sense. I think I will, like, that's a cliff. What are you talking? How could you do that and think that it would work out for you? Because your heart wasn't right. When your heart's not right, things that make no sense make perfect sense. And that is the problem. So, we come back now to the breastplate. In the Old Testament, there is a word, and that word is integrity. Integrity. We've heard that word in English. Integrity. Having integrity. Being a man of integrity. So we often speak of that and just kind of think that someone who has, you know, good character. Integrity comes from a word, integer, which is a whole number. I don't know if you paid attention in math or whether you were looking at girls, but an integer is a whole number. So when you talk about integrity, it has the idea of wholeness. And this is wholeness of heart in the Old Testament, literally wholeness of heart toward God, as opposed to, if you don't have wholeness, you have something that is divided, something that is shattered, that is splintered. Okay, now, come back to, there were two stones in the bag that helped you make decisions. One of those is the thummim. He stumbled over that word because we don't use it a lot. Just say it confidently and people will never know. I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's how I'm saying it. So, thummim. Thummim is plural. The singular of thummim is tom, T-H-O-M, which is whole. We get our word integrity from that. So, come back. Our entire lesson is about making decisions. How do you make right? You have to make right decisions if you want to lead, you want to minister. How do you do that? Heart of compassion. You got to care, or you'll never make right decisions. But then you have to keep your heart right. So there's a lesson there. Someone who has integrity, someone whose heart is right with God, they are much more likely to make right decisions. So here's the point. Decision making is guidance by God. That's what you need. God guides the wholehearted. 1 Kings 22, 34.
And a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote the king of Israel in the joints of the heart. But where is it on the driver of his chariot? Turn thy hand and carry me out of the host where I am wounded.
Okay, here's an interesting word study. This guy is, they're looking for the king of Israel, but he's disguised himself. They don't know where he is. They don't know what does he look like, because he had on a disguise. So the Bible says, in the King James, it says that he drew a bow at a venture. It has two ideas. Number one is he pulled back full strength. That's a whole sermon in itself. But at a venture means he wasn't really aiming. It was like he saw this guy and you are dead. He just gave it everything he had, but there was simplicity. There was no real aim, and he shoots it, and here's the king. He's wearing somebody else's armor. He's disguised. He's covered up, and he has one little area here, and the arrow hits him exactly. One little chink in his armor, and that's where the arrow hit. Well, so here's the point. That word, at a venture, is the same word, integrity, which is the same word, tom, which is the stone for making decisions. So if you will keep your heart right, God will guide you. I have made decisions in my life, and sometimes I look back. At the time, didn't seem like a big deal to me. That looks good. I'm doing my best, living for God. But I look back and think, oh God, that changed my life. Absolutely changed my life for good, not for bad, thank God. Because that's what this is. If you keep your heart right, you'll make decisions. You might not even realize at the time how important it was. But God will guide us. You got to make decisions. You got to care. You got to keep your heart right. Compassion and integrity are foundational to making good decisions. Okay. Let's open for questions.
So how then do you keep your heart right?
Well, numbers of ways. Breastplate is protective. There are certain things we protect ourselves. Right? There are things that we don't allow entrance into our heart. And that can work out in different people differently. There are people that are no good for us. There are things I could watch, things I could read that are no good for us. That's protective in that way. On the other hand, Christianity is positive. Relationship with God is positive. You can't keep your heart right without a relationship with God. I get people that come, my marriage is a mess, my life is a mess, I fell into sin, and so were you reading your Bible? No. Were you praying? No. You weren't. The Bible calls it food. It's like trying to run a marathon without eating. Right? So basic decisions like that. And then, of course, anytime God speaks to you, do what he says. Because it's protective. It's always bigger than the issue that you're facing. It's what you're becoming. Isaac.
So how many of the decisions you help people make come from your knowledge of the Bible? I know I've asked you questions and you'll give me an answer, but you'll also say what the Bible says. Is that, because you're saying we can pray for wisdom and direction, is that going to still be lacking kind of in addition to
question? You have to be a man of the word. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's part of that is I do that to give people confidence. I wake up, you know what I feel like doing? You know, off with everybody's head today. you know, it's not just a personal decision. They're biblical guidelines. That's why I try to reference the Bible in my decisions. The reason why I'm doing this is because the Bible says. So I will only get that if I'm a man of the Word, right? I seek God's wisdom in the Word. I read the Bible daily. I don't read the Bible occasionally or just to get a sermon. I feed my soul. I'm building a reservoir that it comes out. I make a decision. This is what the Bible says. And sometimes I can see it. It's like they're asking a question. It's a different language, different culture. But the Bible is coming to mind. That's foundational, yeah.
Can there also be can this be like a gift that God gives you the ability to know what to tell people even if you have never experienced that situation?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things is that a pastor, according to Ephesians, is a gift to you. It is a gift. So the only way that can be true is if a pastor is gifted, right? So there is something, I know things that I don't have any way of knowing. That might be experience. That might be because I don't have the information. I wasn't there. But I know what is that's why sometimes when people who are filled with pride and have basic rebellion issues, they don't get that. They think we're just having a little debate. But you don't get. I have an unfair advantage, and that is I have a supernatural gifting from God. And I don't say that because I'm special. You really want your pastor to be gifted. That's crude because again, I make decisions that affect people's lives. So yeah, it's supernatural.
So is that something that we should pray for?
Absolutely.
For when we go out, is that God would have us to have that or give us that gift?
Yes, but the key is to have it now. You need to seek wisdom now because wisdom is transferable, right? It's not like you're going to be dumb as rocks and you become a pastor who's like, my head is this big. It's like incredible. From Friday night of conference, I have just gotten so wise, you know. I'm being facetious, but you get the point. Yeah.
When wanting integrity, and would you be praying for wisdom partnered with like a burden for souls, which would be
You need everything. Yeah. This is not multiple choice, right? This is not Golden Corral. Would you like compassion or would you like integrity? No, you got to have the whole package. So it's everything. So that may. One person may really care about people, but they're making decisions that are not in line with integrity. So they need to focus on the integrity. Another person is, their heart is right with God, but they don't really care about people. So that's what they need to focus on. But for all of us, you need everything. So you need to be seeking wisdom daily. That should be a pursuit, a lifelong pursuit of your life. But then look at yourself. For me, I recognized there was a point in time I recognized that what I really needed was compassion. And I went and spoke to Pastor about how do you get this? I recognize I don't really care about people like I should. And so the answer is obviously to ask God for that. So you got to have everything. Vince,
I've noticed that sometimes when I'm in the process of making a decision. It's almost like things that I should know or did know. Like later on, I'll be like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I didn't see this, this, and this. But then I knew those things. I couldn't think of them at the time during the decision-making process. Is there something that can be done to keep your mind able to access all the resources that are already there? Like I'll forget a Bible verse
Well,
and make a decision and remember it after I screw up, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, there can be a lot of different layers to that question. So it can be as simple as, God, give me clarity of mind. I used to hear my dad pray for clarity of mind. And so in other words, God, give me clear thinking. That's number one. But then secondly, sometimes I have to make decisions. I have to make decisions with people who are opposing or trying to manipulate me. Which witchcraft is a work of the flesh. It doesn't mean that you're sacrificing cats, right? So sometimes when I'm talking to people, they have a supernatural dimension. They're resisting. I've had You know, it's too lengthy to go into, but I've had people that they have a demonic dimension that my mind goes cloudy when I was with them. I was like, I couldn't even think straight. Get away from it. It's like, wait a minute. I know what's right. So you understand, it depends on you're giving me a generality. Some of those decisions, they're just simply you alone. So God, give me clarity of mind. Help me to think clearly. Help my brain. My brain needs to work. I pray for my brain. God, if my brain needs to work better. My brain needs to work faster. That's there are men that I admire. I admire different men for different reasons. I admire Richard Ruby is a brain. I brag on Richard Ruby all of that. Man is a very, very smart man. He is incredibly intelligent. Tom Paine is a smart man, but he is fast. Like, I think of it later on, like, oh yeah. but Tom, it doesn't matter what they're saying. I've been with Tom, and Tom is my conflict buddy. We've had to fight battles with people together. And so he is incredibly sharp. His brain is like, boom, he's on it. Whatever they say, he can think. I admire that. That's good. So I pray, God. Richard Ruby's like really smart. I need some of that. You know, Tom Paine, he's really fast. I need some of that. You know what I mean? You know, whatever it is. So, yeah, that's good. Sorry?
Could it be an emotional thing? Could it be an emotional thing that kind of clouds that? You get too involved in the situation?
Well, I think, didn't you ask a question last week, and that was, the answer was you care about what other people think.
Yeah.
So, and that's part of the key. Listen, if you're hung up on what people think, don't be a leader. Right, I make decisions every single week that upset somebody. That's life. I'm not happy about that. It's not that I don't care about that. It just has to be done. Right, so that's something that you have to get over. Basing my life on, you know, you have to like me. You have to please like me. And if you can't get over that issue, then you'll always struggle in making decisions because people are opposing. I want this. No. I got to tell people, no, we're not going to do that, even though they really, really want it. I got to tell them things that are going to disappoint them, shatter their world. It just has to be done. That's the way it is. I got to do that and sleep at night at the same time. Daniel?
When you're pastoring a church and you're trying to decide, okay, can I show compassion towards the person, right, and move forward and discipline them, is it the age, whether the issue affects the congregation,
Well, yeah, you know, that's obviously, that's a very broad issue. So, I'm trying to think of how much to tell you in one sitting, but, yeah, so we don't change. It's not like we're changeable, that, today is Justice Day, tomorrow is Compassion Day. You know, it's a free sin day. This is Compassion Day. You don't do that. But there is, you know, there is some leeway as far as what to do with a person, depending on the level of what they've done, whether they've affected other people, as you said. That's, you know, so there are times when compassion is appropriate. Yes, and you do show compassion in something, even though it would be warranted to. Show full justice, yeah. That's what the Bible calls mercy. Mercy is a good thing to have. But on the other hand, you have another guy, he's merciful to everybody. He never disciplines anything. He never disappoints anybody because I'm merciful, I'm loving. No, you're just selfish. You don't want people to dislike you. That's it. You don't want the mess. So. Somebody else? David?
You mentioned at the beginning of the asking questions, some of the fallout when people don't have integrity. What are some of the consequences when people don't have compassion?
Well, when they don't have compassion, as I said in the lesson, is that the focus of all your decisions is you. That's the key. So you are simply a pawn in my ego game. Right? How do you make me look? So therefore, you have people that they have an excessive reaction to minor things, because they're viewing this as you're making me look bad. And so that's one thing they don't factor in. What's best, they decide quickly. Radical decisions that affect people's lives, because it's all about them. So, and that can be destructive, yeah.
Okay. How do you avoid, since you're counseling and making decisions with most of the time people you know, how do you avoid your own bias or your own like preference in, you know, who to believe, or if there's a decision that you're not sure, you know, from one person to the other?
Well, one of the things is that every decision I make has to be defendable, right? Because often I make a decision and then somebody comes, hey, why did you make that decision? I have to be able to explain it. If you can't explain it, well, I just felt it, you know. So I'm conscious of that. I make decisions. You have to, you know, the old saying is, how's it going to play in Peoria? Right, which is not Phoenix, but that the idea is, I do things understanding that other people are going to see this, so I have to be able to explain, this is why I did it, this is what the Bible says, this is why what they did is wrong, this is why it had to happen that way. So it has to be defendable. If it's just emotion, that guy really bugged me, you're out, off with his head, why'd you do that? I don't know, I was having a bad day. I didn't sleep good last night. Nah, it's not going to work well, right? Because you want people to trust you in the long run. And often, going back to Vince's question, people, they may not like, as I say, every week I make decisions somebody doesn't like. But what happens in the normal course, most people have fairly good hearts. Of course, you have rebels, you have people that, no matter what you do, they want to kill you anyway. I'm never going to please them. So that's fine. I'm not worried about that. But in normal things, is I get people who's like, no, that has to happen. But they're not happy about it. But neither are they, you know, out to get you or to kill you. But then what happens is over time, then they see, oh, that was a good decision. Wow, I didn't see that. You are letting people down, upsetting people, but then they see the wisdom over time. So that creates, over time you have a track record. They're willing to follow you. It's like, I don't get it right now, but I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt because you've made all these good decisions. So therefore, right now, I don't see it like you see it, but I can hang with that. And I might see it in time, which is often what happens. So that's what you have to... You have to understand that. Yeah.
So, is it possible to make decisions too quickly? And if so, how do you decide when to make a quick decision? Like you were talking with Pastor Payne versus making.
Well, no, Pastor Payne, it wasn't a quick decision. I was talking about in conflict. When you get, they say, because you got to understand, the shame. I've often discussed it with Pastor Jesse and different ones. I wish that I could sit you down and teach you how to have conflict. I can't, unfortunately. You've got to experience it. But so you got to understand, if I'm sitting down with someone, I have an issue, it's very common that they want to change the subject. And you got to learn how to, or they'll say something outrageous, or they'll say a personal attack. And so what I talk about Pastor Payne, it wasn't quick decisions. You ever had, so I don't know if you ever had this. I'm talking about, and so we, and you did this. You go, yeah. What about 1972? It's like, and go, what? And they're totally off. Tom Payne is he's fast. He's able to, not just when he leaves the room, like, oh, I should have said. Is that no? He's able to get back on track or whatever very quickly. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about making fast decisions. So, but there's no way I can tell you all the factors of decisions. So there are things that I'm making decisions about a church change. I have a guy who says, in a year, I want to leave this place. So I have a year. That's great. But then I've had a call it's an hour and a half until Friday night at conference. I need a pastor in an hour and a half. Right? So I gotta decide like this. There are just decisions. I have to make fast decisions, but in general, fast decisions are not the good ones. You want to think about it, pray about it, if you can, but then there are time-sensitive ones that you just have to do it. There's no option around it. But I was speaking speed in response to learning how to avoid sidetrack, getting back on track, keeping it to the issue. I have to do that fast. Daniel?
Yeah, I'm wondering, so sometimes if you're in leadership, you're experiencing strong emotion, and you've got a text or a phone call, something dramatic happens, and then you're having a council and work with people, and this thing is weighing on your mind. How do you still have compassion and work with people, and someone's working their heart out, and you're like, yeah, okay, get the right thing in your mind?
Yeah, you just have to. I think that's part of the equipping, is that God gives a pastor equipping. One of the things I pray, God, enlarge my heart, that I don't let one little thing consume my whole life. I can't do that, right? I get upsetting things all the time. So I need my heart to be enlarged. Another thing is that there is a healthy side of compartmentalization. Now, the unhealthy side of compartmentalization is you can become a serial killer. But healthy compartmentalization, I can counsel people and I can hear the most terrible things in the world. I can leave there and I can function in another realm because that's there. I don't have to let that consume my life. It's like, I can't preach today. You won't believe what I just heard. So I have to be able, okay, I just put that in a box, that I shut the door on that, and now I move on. Now, but that's something you get good at. I couldn't do that in the beginning. It's difficult. And so you learn. It's a process. It's a process of growth in doing that so that I'm able to, I can hear something terrible and function. I have to be able to function with my wife, right? I can't, honey, I can't talk to you for a month. My head is consumed. That's just not going to work. And so, so you got to pray for an equipping that God has to help you in that. Delbert.
So when I make a bad decision, what are you covering?
Well, that depends. Sometimes, number one is if a bad decision needs to be repented of, repent. If a bad decision is just a matter of a learning experience, right? You know, you touch the hot stove, note to self, don't touch that again. That's a learning experience, which is, that's part of wisdom. But then there are bad decisions that are, that need to be owned, right? My bad decision was, it affected other people. So therefore I own that. You know what, when I said that wasn't good. I shouldn't have said it that way. That was a right. So that's what you got to do sometimes, yeah. Owning it. Nate?
Yeah, so in a pioneer setting, I guess, that's experience, so to speak, is when you put somebody out and you have a small church, and then afterwards you're like, hey, it's a woman's body, you know, they're psychopaths, but they're faithful psychopaths. You know what I mean? I mean, is that a trusting God, a trusting your path? Pastor issue? I mean, is there...
Yeah, that's the key. Short term, long term, right? When I was running 12 people and I put out a lady and it was her and her four kids, what percentage of that is the congregation? That really sucked. So yeah, but you gotta it whatever it costs, it has to be done. So it just that's the key. That's a part of. Remember that I preached a sermon. And it was on the tribe of Benjamin, you know, we're going to go attack. And a bunch of people died. It's like, that wasn't helpful. What should we do tomorrow? Go attack again. And some more people died. So righteousness is expensive. That was the point I was making. So you got to do that. But if God can't trust you with that, then you'll never have anything bigger. It just has to be done. That's... Pastoring in Boston. Some people have the idea that wouldn't it be cool to be at a conference and have you up on the stage and people But pastoring involves a whole range of decisions that suck. They're no fun. I don't like it. It just has to be done. That's all there is to it. Whatever it costs. It's emotionally draining. It's disappointing. It's involving conflict with other people. Whatever. I got to do it. I got to answer to God. That's at the end of the day. And that's what you have to, I think, back to Isaac's question or whatever. At the end of the day, I will stand before God. Right? That's what James, you don't want to be a teacher. You don't want to be in leadership for personal gain, because you're going to stand before God. When the chief shepherd shall appear, I'm going to stand before God. He's going to ask me, why did you do that? Right? So he's going to be a much tougher critic than somebody in the church who's mad at me. So I have to be able, at the end of the day, I know you don't like this. This was no fun, but I'm going to answer to God, and I'm comfortable with that. I feel that I made the right decision. It was biblical. It was what, it just had to be done. And I'm going to stand before God, and I'm comfortable with that. Right? Anybody else? Good. Okay.